What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
Welcome, welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African Americans who have seen success within the sport. We're also going to bring you some news from our favorite teams in the Premier League, top European leagues, and just worldwide news as well. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been with us from the jump, just want to say thank you, thank you. Thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Again, my name's Cornelius, and I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Mike, how you doing?
I'm feeling great, man. I mean, international break, but we all need this break. I'm feeling good. How about you, Salam?
Pretty good. Like Mike said, it's been nice to have a week off. Still a lot of stuff going on, but yeah, definitely enjoying the time. How about you, Cornelius?
Good, man. It's good to have the international break. I agree. It's nice to take a little bit of time off. And actually, I want to start with something funny. So today I was kind of just scrolling, looking at the scores, and I'm not sure if you realize, but England played Ireland today. They won 5-0.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty big win. But let me not butcher his name. I want to get the full name. Taylor Hardwood Bellis, 22-year-old youth English guy. He came on and he got the fifth goal. I think it was like the 79th or 80th minute for England to beat Ireland 5-0. But the funny part is Roy Keane is about to be his father-in-law. He's engaged to Roy Keane's daughter. And you know, Roy Keane's from Ireland. So I guess they were talking to him about the game. And then I guess somebody asked Roy Keane, how do you feel about, you know, your potential son-in-law scoring against your country? And he said, he said it was bittersweet, but it's not done and dusted yet. A lot can change in the Keane household, let me tell you. Referring to, hey, he ain't married yet. So so it was just pretty funny. Roy Keane just being Roy Keane, you know, that guy will never change. It was just a little funny little quirk I saw. I was like, let's start off with that, because it's crazy though. Like, as a son-in-law, like, your father-in-law is Roy Keane. You can't mess up, because he'll be like, I saw you on the pitch today, lot. You know?
He's intense, too. He'll let you have it. That's your father-in-law.
You can't really
say shit either. It's like, okay.
Yeah. You're talking to a legend.
I couldn't imagine being related to someone like that. It'd be like, who was it? Sergio Aguero's son? Who's his godfather?
Messi,
probably.
And then, like, someone has, like,
and then Maradona, I think Maradona is here, something like that.
Yeah.
I think at one point, Pep Guardiola's daughter was dating Ferran Torres.
Yeah, Ferran Torres. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, what do you say? You know, what I'm saying?
That's probably why he left City.
he was like, yeah, I got to get away. No, that's funny. But yeah, man, let's get into it. We gotta hit the nail on the head and talk about one of the biggest stories out of world football. Referee David Coote, English Premier League referee. He just got caught in a whole bunch of scandals this week. I mean, I feel like after that video came out, it was just story after story after story. Yeah. But essentially what happened, I believe it was on Monday. I think Monday is when the video dropped. Last week, Monday, I should say.
Yeah.
It was a video of him with some very spicy words from Liverpool's old boss, Jurgen Klopp, calling him all sorts of names. I don't want to say, because this is a family show. But, you know, the video is out there for anyone who may not have seen it. Essentially, he was just calling Klopp arrogant, and he didn't like him. I guess they had gotten to a skirmish at one of the games. He was a fourth official. But what happened after that video was we saw another video or pictures of him with a dollar bill rolled up, looking like he was about to ingest a white powdery substance. what was crazy is that the PGMOL, as soon as that video came out, I feel like it was maybe 20, 30 minutes later, they came out and said, yeah, we're launching an investigation right now. Mm-hmm. What do y'all feel about David Coote, man? And now that we have seen how referees kind of have their biases towards certain teams or against certain teams, what do we feel like this does for the integrity of the game? Because we've always kind of assumed that refs, you know, kind of play favoritism towards some teams, and certain refs are pretty harsh on certain managers and certain teams. But now that this is out, How do y'all feel about it?
I mean, I think it's the first thing that I want to say to address the first part was I just think it's crazy that you're even in this situation.
Yeah.
I think for you to be in the position that you're in, what he does in his private time is his private time. That's none of my business. Mm-hmm. But just like, you know, as a professional, you are in a referee in the biggest league in the world, the best league in the world. You're refereeing some of the biggest matches in England. And I think in Europe too, right? Because some of these
guys, they
begin Champions League games. So it's like, I don't know, man. For you to be in the position that you're in, and then for this video to come out, I think it just shows how irresponsible, obviously, he was, how naive he was. For you to just blatantly just be saying that on camera. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I understand like who you are and like who you work mm-hmm. with. I think it's completely irresponsible and honestly just dumb. Like just mm-hmm. really compromising your situation at that point. And I mean, yeah, like that's a very tough position for him. Obviously, he can't the referee in the Premier League ever again after some of the words that he said. But I mean, obviously, like, you know, some of these like I'm not surprised that he said some of the things that he said. I think it's just the fact that he got caught. I mean, because mm-hmm. you got to think, man. Some of these managers too, like they say, shit. I said a lot to the youth refs that I coach. You know what I'm saying? Here, and these are the youth games. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Shout out to all mm-hmm. the referees out there, man. You guys are doing a solid job. But it's like, you know, think about at the highest level though. Someone like Klopp, someone who's been. I mean, someone who's very outspoken on the sideline, mm-hmm. uh-huh. you know, things are obviously friction is bound to occur. But to your point, Cornelius, I think that it is tough now because it's like now all of these decisions just seem to be based off of like emotion rather
than
the actual like what's going on the pitch. So,
yeah,
it's definitely a tough position to be in as a player. I would be kind of like. As a player and a person on the staff, I would, you know, I would be questioning, like, you know, are these decisions uh-huh. being based off of what's happening on the actual game, mm-hmm. or is this because you're in your feelings about someone and you don't like me or you don't like my coach? Like, I think it's crazy, but yeah, he obviously he's done.
Yeah, he's definitely done. I think this kind of gives us like a little bit of an insight also into. It kind of confirms our suspicions, mm-hmm. you know. They are human, so they will have some biases. But to be looking at a camera while it's on you saying that, I mean, there's no way he's coming back. There's absolutely no way. Because what path would you possibly
exactly
have to come back? What type of rehabilitation? Wow. That word was not coming out right. So what kind of rehab can you possibly do to, you know, come back? The integrity of the refs right now, I feel like it's shaky. Funny thing, it happened during the international break. Mm-hmm. When we come back, you best believe people have their eyes open. So some of these calls are not going to be just calls anymore. Now it will go into, okay, what team does he support?
Yeah, it's a good
everybody
point.
Would go back and look at, okay, how many of these judgments have you made?
And their history.
It just sucks for him. It just sucks. His life is over, which sucks. And it also seems like somebody has an agenda against him. And, I mean, whatever it was, it's between him and whoever released the video. But I think, you know, this is actually a good thing. You know, it's good that it happened. It wakes up the Prem to be more serious about some of these refs, because some of these calls that we've seen, even this year, you wonder. So
the dude in the camera was like, he's like, nah, yeah, we would never, you know, ruin.
Yeah, we would never send this.
And bro, he was like looking into the camera too, and I was like,
oh, and he even sends it too.
He's like, yeah, he's like, don't send this anyone. You know, this is the ref of, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't, even you hearing that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you as like, David Coots, you being there and you hearing that, like, doesn't that like trigger, like, sober you up a little bit? I don't know. I don't know, bro.
Mm-hmm. Hey, he was off that booger sugar, bro.
Nah, bro, it can't. Wake up, bro. What? Bro, your life. This is your life.
Honestly,
you can't mix business and pleasure like that. Come on.
But he was texting like, I guess, people he was meeting at these events, at that, like, the halftime of the.
Yeah,
he said, get the party pack ready. He said, tune into this second half. But it makes you think, though, like the first place where I thought was, I wonder if he was betting on the games, because that's the first place that I would
look. I mean, yes, all these it opens reps. That door. Yeah.
Now, yeah, you got to look at all angles now, because everything's on the table now. I mean, we were looking at Paqueta, like, why are you getting yellow cards? A year later, we find out he was in a betting scheme, you know. And then so Mike's right. Like, this happened during the international break. Now everybody's going to come back looking at every ref, like, all right, let's see what y'all on now. Everything's just going to be under a microscope.
Yeah. It's crazy. And as it should be, because some of these calls have been very questionable. So
I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but how would you guys rank the most difficult refs to be refereed, like, your teams? Like, how would you rank them? Like, if there was one referee that you're like, I do not want him refing my game, who was it? Rank them top three. For me, I feel like
AT.
Anthony Taylor, definitely. AT,
you already know who it is.
For me, I don't mind anybody else. Anthony Taylor, yes, absolutely not.
Number one. To be fair, though, Anthony Taylor, he's okay. I mean,
sometimes he actually is okay, but it's sometimes that he's okay.
Yeah, but he's bad. I don't want to say he's bad, but like, it's tough there. Who else? Yeah, nah.
Michael Oliver. I don't mind Michael Oliver.
Michael Oliver got better. I think
I like him.
You know what it was? I think he was a little green at first, and he was like, he was scared to make certain calls, but now he has a little bit more confidence as a ref. I think he's gotten better.
Too, and he, I believe,
because I didn't like him really at first, but he's gotten better, to be honest.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, that's all I can. David Coots, obviously. But David Coots was more of like a
he was like he was fourth like official, like,
he was like a linesman before, because he was
I mean, he's always at like the, you know,
he's the one actually halfway, talking to
coaches,
you know what I'm saying? Like, he, to be fair, he's probably the one that gets like the most shit, probably. Man, I felt it, right? He just burnt out, bro. You couldn't, man, poor guy. You just
poor guys, bro.
Yeah, he's gone. Bro.
He said enough is enough, man. Nah.
Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting time for the refs. And I think it has to be, because you guys have video review and still mess things up. So, now we got to start wondering.
Crash out of the week is definitely get well soon, man. Get well. That's a new segment, man. Get well soon, man.
Crash out of the week. I like that.
Get well soon, David Coots, man.
That's funny, man. But yeah, we'll keep monitoring that situation. And obviously, you know, with games coming up this weekend, I'm sure we'll hear a lot about it from, you know, the soccer world. But before we, you know, before we leave, I do want to talk about some U.S. soccer. I know a few weeks ago we talked about, what is it, the MLS and how you know, our Ohio teams and Miami left. But I do want to switch gears and talk about the NWSL. A few weeks ago we put out a piece on Temwa Chawinga. Obviously, she broken all records for her team and just for the league in general, you know, most goals scored in a league. And it was dope, man. I want to find the post because I want to make sure I get everyone's name right. But, you know, the NWSL, they give out MVP awards. And what was super cool to me was the five finalists for the MVPs were all women of color. I think I posted this on our story, where two African-Americans and a Brazilian. And it's just like, I mean, I talked about it here just with the U.S. women's national team, but it's so cool to see just people of color and specifically Blacks, Africans, African Americans, kind of, you know, we're getting to the peak of the mountain, bro. We're looking at these teams, and even when you look across Europe, you know, a lot of these European teams are now getting a little bit more flavor. You know, you look at teams like Sweden, ESOC. You look at teams like, you know, I mean, the Dutch, England, France. They've always, even Italy, they've always had one or two here, but you're looking at certain countries now, you're like, oh, you play where? Oh, you play there? Yeah. And it's just super cool to see them. So today I was able to watch one of the matches. I actually saw Orlando Pride versus Kansas City Current. The match ended up being 3-2, but it was honestly a great match. 1-1 in the first half, and then second half was back and forth. Marta, her third goal clinched it, and for those of you who didn't see, man, it was just class personified. I mean, when she scored the goal, I got goosebumps. I literally got goosebumps. I was like, I mean, Marta's 38. I've been watching her play my whole life, literally. Yeah. So So to see her at the end of her career and her still balling, like, bro, she played full 90 minutes and there were 13 minutes extra time, you know? So it's like she played the whole match, and it's just like, yo, this, like, I know we talk about LeBron. I know we talk about, you know, a lot of these athletes that are going further in their careers. We talked about Tom Brady while he was still playing, but we gotta look at Marta and put her up there as one of them ones, man. For sure. She's one of them ones. And it's cool because I never really watched the NWSL as much as I have this year, but this year it was cool to see how talented a lot of these teams are, to be honest. And like I said, especially in the forwards, I think there are just a lot of talented forwards emerging in all countries, you know, so it was really, really cool to see. I'm not sure if you guys were able to watch the game or not, or any of these playoffs, but.
No, most definitely. I mean, I think, the game today, I mean, like you said, it had everything, right? Started out with a quick goal by Kansas City. And then right before halftime, Orlando was able to equalize. And the crazy thing was for me, bro, like seeing, this year has been the year that I've really followed the NWSL from start to finish. And when Orlando scored the equalizing goal, and like the place went crazy. The stadium went crazy. I was like, wow, like, you know, this is some good soccer, man, some good football. So like definitely been a fun season to watch. I mean, obviously now, you know, we're at the culmination of the championship game, which is, I believe, on the 23rd.
Yeah, November 23.
To your point, Cornelius, Marta definitely continues to show why she's the best, you know, player to ever play, you know. And
where does she rank in you know, the all-time list? What do you guys think?
She's one. I mean, bro.
I mean, I agree with. I'd probably put her at one. The only stain is no World Cup. She never won it with Brazil. That's the only stain on her jacket, for real. But other than that, I mean, if we're just talking individual play.
But no one else will be able to top what she's done individually.
Though. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it would take, like, I don't know how many World Cups you would need to win for you to equivalent. For her last goal, the third goal today, wow. And the crazy thing was, is like, again, she ran damn near the half of the field to get there. And then for her to finish the way she did, great finish. Shout out to Temwa Chiwenga for a historic season. She's definitely just warming up, heating up for sure.
It's crazy she didn't score though.
She didn't.
She had some chances too.
I mean, I feel like they did a good job of, obviously, you know, she's one of the best players. Like, for me, it was between her and Barbara Banda.
She got a goal as well.
Banda. She scored. And I mean, even her finish, bro, her turn and her finish was was solid. And I mean, it was just a good game, man, and a good product overall, man. I'm really impressed with what I saw. On the other side, Trinity Rodman, you know, she showed she's that, to your point, Cornelius, like all the MVP players, like all black. You know what I'm saying? All black, bro. Even when you look at our national team too, man, look at our attacking. Yeah. her
triple Sophia espresso. Smith.
Yeah,
and then triple espresso. Shout out Naomi Girma. She said, "I want to be an espressos too." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have a good amount in the back, the best defender in the world, and then I mean, yeah, bro. I just feel like football, definitely on the women's side, is in a good place. I think the National League team is in a really good place, and it should be a good championship game. But shout out Martha, shout out Banda, all of them. Shout out all of them, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then just to give the MVP finalist list so you know who the five women are. Martha from the Orlando Pride, Temwa Chawinga from KC Current, Trinity Rodman from the Washington Spirit, Sophia Smith from Portland Timbers, and then Barbara Banda, also from Orlando Pride. And then, you know, three out of those five we'll see in the finals. You know, Orlando is going to be playing against Washington. So, you know, you get to see three MVP finalists in the final. Again, the attacking play is just crazy. But the defending is good as well. I mean, honestly, like Salam said, it's my first time really paying attention to the NWSL. And the level is elite, man. Like, the level is very, very high. So it was really cool to see. Yeah, definitely tune in November 23rd for the final. Again, it's going to be Orlando Pride versus the Washington
Thanksgiving Spirit. Special.
Absolutely.
This is an interesting – I just thought about this. Well, two things. The first one, also, too, shout out to Rose Lavelle. And
shout out, Rose.
Gotham. They've had a good season as well, too. But do you think – so, the NWSL is like – the league in itself is really good. I think that the NWSL is more closer to Europe than
– MLS.
Than MLS is.
I agree.
To Europe, 100%. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
Because there's some play. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, there's like England, like Chelsea, like your guys' women's team is like incredible.
But by the way, 10 in a row.
I mean, I think all the teams in England. I mean, they have the leagues everywhere, right? But the teams in Spain as well too. But I'm like, wow. I would love to see somehow like if there would be any way to like you know compare both leagues. Probably not, but. Mm-hmm. I think the NWSL has a lot of talented players. So I'm curious to see if we would ever see, like, you know, a wave of players from Europe come over here. Because
I mean, we've seen a little bit of it. The Nigerian striker, is it Aissatou? Is
that her name? She's here.
Yeah, she moved from what, Barcelona?
Yeah.
So that was a big move. Yeah. And I agree. That was a very good, you know, observation that, you know, the NWSL. SL is closer to Europe than the MLS is. It's just MLS needs to catch up. You know, they just need to.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever catch up.
I don't know what it would take, but.
But I mean, we doing it. Although I do agree with Salam, we are starting to see, you know, like. MLS players, American players, homegrown players get a lot of attention from Europe. So, you know, I mean, we're starting to see a big wave of American guys starting to, I mean, even if you look at the U.S. national team now, most of those guys are in Europe, you know? So it's definitely getting better, but I think it's still years
away. I mean, but our thing is, though, is like, you know, we're always like for profit, though, right? So, like, even if a player doesn't arise, it's like, we're probably going to cash in on him. And then I think for us, like the best case scenario would be like, you know, being like a breeding ground for talent, you know, actually having scouts from outside the US, like respecting the players and the talent that
we have
coming through the pipeline. Because, and I mean, the players that are playing now are showing that because you're seeing a lot more people, you know, people who are following the game now, like, oh yeah, we have a lot of Americans who are playing abroad. When we were younger, it wasn't quite like that. There was few guys that actually either had the opportunity to go play or were good enough to. So.
And another thing, what's cool about the NWSL is a lot of them want to stay in the U.S. Like a lot of them are getting offers in Europe, maybe not La Liga or the Prem, but they're like, I just want to play here. And I think that's also a big draw for people maybe in Europe or maybe in Africa, looking to play pro, because the culture in America is growing, and especially around women's soccer, because the women's team has actually seen success in the last 5, yes, 10, yeah. 15, 20 years. So the growth of the sport from when we were kids to 20 years later is massive. You know what I mean? Like, look at the NWSL compared to what their league was even 5 years ago. You know, so it's you're getting TV sponsorships now. Where, you know, a lot of the women are being more vocal about the wage gap and stuff. And obviously, we know that that has to do with how the leagues are broken down and you know, all that stuff. But the play is good, and they're gaining followers. So it's really dope to see the league where it is right now. But it wouldn't be Africans Talk Football if we didn't talk about AFCON over the international break. AFCON. We all kind of have some weary faces because none of our countries made it. We all looking like
that's crazy.
We all looking like my people are not there, so. But yeah, man, it's honestly nuts. I just want to go ahead and read off the teams that did make it. Morocco is the host country, so they automatically get a bid. Burkina Faso. Oh, hold on. Why is my phone tweaking right now? All right. Sorry about that. But the qualified teams. So Morocco, again, the host country. Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Algeria, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Senegal, Egypt, Angola, Equatorial Guinea, Ivory Coast, Gabon, Uganda, South Africa, Tunisia, Nigeria, Mali, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Comoros.
Shout out Zimbabwe, man. Shout out.
Yeah, man. Shout out Uganda. Shout out a lot of these.
And Nesu, man. The Zimbabwean nightmare. I just.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. My your beloved Ghana, Mike.
Yeah, we got to talk about the elephant in the room, Mike.
Why did you do this to me, bro?
What's going on with y'all, bro?
I don't think there's a single Ghanaian that can explain to you what's happening. The only explanation, huh?
Is it unlucky?
The only explanation we have right now is people think we're cursed for how we treated Asamoah Gyan. That's the only explanation, because look at the group we were in. We should be sleepwalking through these games and still win. I mean, look at the group. You tell me we can't beat Angola, we can't beat Niger, and who was the other one? I can't remember the third one. But these are teams that historically don't make it to the AFCON competition. And you're telling me, with us having pretty much our whole starting lineup,
Sudan
was the other one. I mean, come on. It's embarrassing. I mean, today we got a report that came out on social media, one of the Ghana outlets talking about one of the old players we had, saying that they've created a system where people get incentivized for finding guys to start on the Ghana national team. Like, what kind of sense does that make? Like, think about it. If you, let's say you, Cornelius, you're watching a game and you find somebody, you know, in La Liga, and you're like, yo, you got to get this guy on the national team. And if that guy actually gets on the field, you get paid for it.
So you talk about anybody in the country, not just scouts?
No. I'm talking about these scouts.
Oh, okay,
that's what they're doing.
Okay.
They're incentivizing these scouts based on who's playing.
Do you think that's an attempt?
It's not the whole problem. I just think the pride is not there. It's just not there. Like, it's just not there. There's too many, you know, politics going on. I mean, the last international break, we couldn't play in Ghana. Why? Because the fields were not good enough. I mean, jeez. Ghana was one game away from going to a semifinal in the World Cup. And you're telling me our playing conditions is not good enough to even play an AFCON game, a qualifier game.
Crazy.
It's embarrassing, man. Because everybody wants to line their pockets. That at the end of the day, that's what it is. Everybody wants to line their pockets. Is the manager the right choice? I'm starting to doubt that it's the right choice, because he doesn't seem to like have a connection with these guys. Because this is a guy, yes, he's Ghanaian, but he's grew up in Germany. You know, he's grown up in, you know, Dortmund's system, and you know, he's Ghanaian and he's in Europe. So, you know, hey, bring him on. He's young. That was the idea, so that he can, you know, grow with these guys. the connection is not there. This time around, I believe we had six guys out. Six key guys, you would say. Ignaquiel Williams wasn't there. Partey wasn't there. And a couple of defenders. Our starting defenders were not there. So I get it. There might be some people missing, but
y'all still have enough talent, though. That's the crazy part.
That's the thing. That's what I was saying. If any Ghanaian that you know could confidently tell you this is our problem, none of us know what the problem is. We're all looking at each other like, you're telling me we fielded Kudus, Fatau, you know, guys that Jordan Ayew. You're telling me we don't have an advantage against Angola? With all these guys, the experience they have, the teams they play on, we can't squeeze out a win? I don't know.
I mean, do you think it could be a product of... Because I feel like, in a sense, you guys are also kind of going through a transition as well, though, too. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, like it's like the new wave of, you know, these young players are coming in. Obviously, you're saying you're seeing Kudus take the 10 shirt, the captain's armband, which I believe is like... He's the right person to do it. But you know, like with the manager also being young, I don't know how old he is, but
he's pretty young. Yeah.
But do you think
late 30s, early 40s?
So, but do you think it could also just be like, you know, this is just a product of, you know, the transition? We're not obviously quite where we need to be, but
I think that one of the main problems is that most of our guys that actually play for us were not Ghanaian kids that grew up in Ghana. Half of these kids can't speak the language. Half of them can't really communicate in the local dialect. Semenyo was not born in Ghana. Ayew was not born in Ghana. Like, most of these guys, some of them weren't born in Ghana. So these are guys that, you know, grew up outside the country, you know, have been playing in different conditions, and then you bring them all together. Some of them can't really speak English like that. So how do they communicate with the local guys? You know, there is a gap there, and they have to find a way to kind of bridge that gap. But I still think football is not, I mean, we see it on club teams all the time. Different nationalities, they don't speak the same language, still make things happen. So I don't think that's the main issue. I just don't understand. I think the politics is overtaking everything. It's just, how can I be in charge so that I can line my pockets up, even though, you know, this is supposed to be, you know, something you do for your country. You know, it's a pride thing. It shouldn't be like a money thing. It is what it is. I mean, from what was it? We missed 2018. The World Cup, was it 2014? Which one was that? Yeah, 2014, yeah. Brazil. From everything that I feel like happened in Brazil, we still haven't been able to recover. Yeah. We just haven't been able to. If you look back, we really just haven't been able to recover.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And that was the time when everything was exposed, and instead of us getting, well, you know, now we know better as fans, instead of us getting behind the guys that were actually, you know, speaking out, they got condemned. But now everybody's like going back, oh, I wish we, and I'm just like, yeah, it's, we can't, you can't go back now. I mean,
yeah, it's just way too late.
Kevin Prince got kicked off the team. Montari never played another game for Ghana. Asamoah still played, but everybody was ready for... Yeah. They were ready to let him go. It's too old. It's too old. We got to get Fred Stryker. He's too old. Now everybody's like, oh, I wish we had another one like Asamoah John.
Yeah.
You don't know what you got till it's gone, man.
Until it's done. I think that's what it is. They don't like Inaki Williams because he's not Ghanaian, because, you know, he didn't grow up in Ghana. So there's a whole thing. Like, one of my cousins hates Inaki Williams, doesn't want him anywhere close to the team. And I'm like, bro, the talent is there. Yeah. Come on. It's like we're picking and choosing. Like, you have any options. Like, bro. But that's what it is, man. African sports, African soccer. That is one thing we need to get over. This hump with this politics, and somebody has to make a buck somewhere in the process of everything. And we hear that news today. Oh, yeah, guys, you guys know that. Guys just get paid if they are able to get the guy they recommended on the field. And I'm reading it, and I'm like, wait, what? So he gets on the field, you get money. Like, come on. Makes no sense. So now guys are strategizing on, okay, oh, you got to get my guy on the, my guy that I found you, you got to get him on the field so that I can, you know? Yeah. So are we actually playing guys that need to play and are going to help us win? Or are we playing guys that, you know, is going to line somebody's pockets up because they found him and they brought him to the team and they brought, you know, attention to him? I don't know, man. It's hard watching Ghana these days, man. Every game I watch, I'm just like, it's just not there. The passion is not there. They don't play for each other. It's not like they're not good. They're good enough. You watch these guys on their teams, and they all play well. They give you hope. Oh, if we come together, we're gonna. It just never happens. It's so sad. So sad, especially watching teams like Senegal. Nigeria's been slipping lately, but, you know, they took care of business early, so they're good.
Mm-hmm.
You watch some of these teams, Cameroon, all these, like, historic teams.
Really good, yeah.
And they're still putting it, even Egypt, bro. Everybody thought Egypt was done.
Yeah. Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast, yeah.
Yeah, African football, I feel like, it's in a good place. I feel like for Ghana, though, it's tough because you're looking around and you're kind of seeing everybody else kind of, you know, really, like Cameroon, low key. I mean, they were good in the last World Cup too, but I feel like they could potentially, like,
they should be falling off a little bit, right?
Yeah, but I feel like they're actually they got some young guys.
Exactly.
And you guys, you guys are in an interesting spot because I was going to pose the question to you guys: who's the next African, like, powerhouse?
I think Senegal is still there, man. Yeah. Powerhouse, though?
Like, who do you think? Like
right now, Senegal has a stronghold.
I was going to say.
They got some there. Young guys, too, that, like, especially if Jackson starts.
Yeah.
If Jackson starts, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fire,
yeah,
they need somebody post Mane.
But I think it's good though because they do have a lot of young stars, you know, so they can kind of like grow together, which is very good. I mean, a lot of them are playing in the Prem too, so these guys also kind of know each other. So I think
Senegal, they've been doing well. They've been doing well, you know, integrating the young and the old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to say, either Morocco or Senegal for me. Either Morocco or Senegal. Morocco has a good squad.
They do.
Morocco got a really good blend of, like, experienced guys right now. Like, they have, like, the Ziyeches and, like, the Amrabats and, like, the Mazraoui, I guess, but, like, Hakimi. Like, even when those guys go, it's like you still got Brahim Diaz. It's like,
Isn't that his name, Sice?
Defender.
But he'll probably be done pretty soon, maybe in the next 4 years, but we'll see. They have another guy that plays in Dubai, Rahimi. That kid, I think, will be playing. He'll be playing in France very soon.
He's good.
I don't know why I think he'll be playing in Ligue 1, but it just seems like that's the, you know, normal progression.
We know he won't be playing for Lyon.
No, he won't be playing.
Man, for Lyon. We didn't even talk about that. That's crazy.
No, bro. I mean, we're going to. Speaking of Lyon.
Yeah.
That's
they so broke. That's so they are broke, bro.
But how
it's
do you
sad, bro.
It's sad, bro.
I don't know, bro. I just feel
watching
like
these teams that we like watched growing up that were like household names. What was the other one? They're also from, is it?
So I mean, with
it's
them being
recent, it's a league one.
With them being, so they're done.
Bordeaux, another Bordeaux. They're not even a pro team anymore.
Crazy. That's crazy. You're right.
Well, does that mean like?
So
teams still get relegated?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
Because if they're already done,
I guess
no. I didn't read too much into it, but what I understood was like it's a contingent relegation. So if they don't pay whatever their debt is by the end of the season, then they get relegated, I believe.
Oh, they're done. Okay. They don't have it.
Yeah.
They don't have the money.
Yeah. So I mean, depending on what it is, they might just have a fire sale this January, is what it sounds like. If they plan on trying to stay up, but
Leon. That's sad.
How is Leon in this position?
Bro? I don't know. That's man. Sad, it's crazy.
For the casual listener, this is like, I mean, Mike, you said it in the group. This is like Arsenal of the Prem. Like,
the Prem getting relegated.
Man United, Liverpool. Like, what?
Yeah. That's nuts.
Like, yeah. Leon has produced some of the, like,
Michael Essien.
Yeah, some of them.
Benzema. There's been some good guys out of Lyon.
Yeah, Lacazette. I mean, a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
A bunch of guys, but yeah, that's really sad, man. But shit, I mean, who's on the team?
Kelsey put in a bid for Ryan Cherki. Put a like 20 mil.
Do we really?
Yeah, for January. We'll see.
You don't have any.
Bro, his techers are crazy.
It's crazy.
His technique is honestly insane.
I would love a guy like that.
I don't know how he'll pan out in the Prem. I'm not gonna hold you, but
whose spot would he have to take? You already know. Nah, say the name.
He's a rotational player.
Say the name.
He's a rotational player. You know he'll play that FA. Bro, Joao Felix can't even get time on the first team in the Prem.
Wow, man.
Think about it. He's not even
getting time with Portugal.
He was coming off the bench.
Szczerski on the right side. So he's gonna start over Nani.
Here we go. You already trying to look at you, bro.
Man. look at you.
It's not even December yet. Can we wait till January?
No, I'm just looking at their team. They got some guys. Wow, Maitland-Niles, Tagliafico, Tolisso, Matic, Lacazette, Cherki, Fofana,
Matic.
Like they got some players, bro.
They got some guys, man. Sissoko, okay, yeah. Zaha's on this.
Yeah, Zaha's there. Yeah, he's on loan over there.
Oh, bro, get well. Yeah. Shout out Tanner Tessman, American.
There's a Ghanaian guy also on there, Nuama.
Oh, Nuama.
He was supposed to go to was it Everton or Bournemouth or something like that, and he was the guy that left his physical. During the transfer window, deadline day window. Oh yeah, it was a big. Well, I guess because he's Ghanaian, it was on the Ghanaian social media. Okay.
You may be heading back, Ernest.
Exactly. If you're just staying over there.
Yeah.
Literally bailed out of the physical, and nobody could find him. His agent, the team, nobody.
He didn't want to transfer.
Yeah, so he didn't answer any calls. Until the window is closed,
we need to do a top five segment on craziest transfer stories. For me, and I feel like for Mike.
Oh yeah.
There's one story that is just firmly number one.
You talk about Ramos.
It's stuck in our head. Oh man!
Shout out to Peter Odemwinge, man, the real Nigerian.
Only man to force his own transfer,
bro. This guy, he showed up. I don't know if he put it out. I don't know how exactly it transpired, but
you know the funny. Just tell the story.
He essentially pulled up at the training ground.
He was caught on video too. You know how it is. You know, the news like, are outside the teams. Yeah,
I think doesn't he get outside the car?
He
pulls the window down. And then they come up to him and they're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And he's saying that like, oh, like I'm trying to like, you know, he's trying to get this transfer move. But there's no rumors. He just pulled up.
Wait, he just pulled up. Like, hey, sign me.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, here's the quote. I don't know the full quote. I just know in the quote, he said, sometimes you just have to push a little bit. I was like, you really pulled up.
I would never forget that.
You pulled up.
He said, sign me, coach. Sign me. That's funny, bro.
Shout out Pedro Domingue, man. Definitely one of the best.
Another one, man. Streets won't forget.
yeah. But, yeah, man, obviously we had the international break. Do we have anything before we get into our teams, or is that it?
I think that was pretty much it. That's all I had, unless y'all had anything for real. But.
Cool, man. I mean, I've also heard of, what'd you call it? Neymar possibly getting his contract. Neymar back to that's sad, too. Sad. Another one. That one hit me like, I was like, man, Salah might be really right on this.
No, I hate that I am right. I don't mean it.
It might be right on that.
Nah, I just.
But like. I feel like we've lost like 4 years of his career.
He's just extremely unlucky, bro. I think a lot of people equate a lot of his injuries to his style of play. Like, he invites challenges and everything. But, you know, I think it was that 2020 year. When they went to the Champions League final. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably
his best year. The like, first he was time getting his stride, bro.
I was like, I mean, he's the best player.
Yeah,
right? He's the best at that point. Mm-hmm. Especially even that final, there was a compilation of him just like in the final, like, bro, he was cooking.
Mm-hmm. I remember nobody could touch him, bro. It was insane.
But it's sad though, man, because now it's like he still has like the techers and the technique, and like that's not going anywhere. The dribbling, mm-hmm. and everything. For me, it's like obviously like the explosiveness at this point, like where and I fear that, like, bro, I think he would come here to the MLS and he would be crazy. He would be just like Messi. But I just think, like, I don't know, bro. The game just requires so much transition here. It's just like, you know, are you can you really, you and Messi can't be on the same team in the MLS. There's already sort of. So we can't have three guys just not running. I mean, so what's the situation though? Are they trying to terminate his contract or he's hurt?
Yeah, he's hurt right now.
They did terminate his contract in Saudi, and then I believe he's going back to
Santos. Yeah,
Santos.
Oh,
yeah, he's out for like, well, now it'll be like what, a month, or maybe a couple more weeks after that. But he was out for 6 to 8 weeks, and they're like, nah.
Is he playing or is he just training?
He's not playing. Mm-mm. He's injured right now.
Yeah.
So what is he? So he's just chilling in Santos. You said Santos.
Well, it's not official.
Yeah. So his Saudi contract is terminated officially. There are just rumors that he's going to sign with Santos because he's still trying to play, and, you know, teams aren't really.
Come to Miami.
Let's come to the MLS, man. Let's do this thing.
Man, coming to Columbus. Nah, I'm not going to. I take that back. Don't come to Columbus, man. Don't come. We got a good thing going in Ohio. Man. Don't come over here.
You don't want him in Sissy?
Nah. We got a good thing going, man. I'm just checking. And I love all the players on the Columbus crew. I don't change nobody. But where could he go? Because Pogba's a free agent too, man. See,
hey, shout out to Jose. Let's talk about your boy. Is he coming back?
We need to shout out Jose. See if they play.
Where they play.
What do you say? When they play. Do they play? No, that's sad, man. Shout out to both of them. At one point, you know, who thought? I remember there was this one picture I'll never forget. It was I don't know if you guys seen it, but you probably have. It was Messi, Pogba, and Neymar. They were chilling outside of when they came here to the United States. And I just remember thinking, this is when Pogba was still at Juventus. I just remember thinking, wow, here's the best player in the world, and then potentially could be like the heir. And Neymar, because I'll say this, and people may disagree with me, but Paul Pogba was probably, to me, when I think of I'm not talking about career, I'm talking about just player. I'm just looking
at ability.
I think he was the best midfielder of this generation, of our generation.
100%. Man, I was a
fan. Over Kevin?
I was a fan.
De Bruyne? Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I'm not mad at that.
Pogba can defend.
I'm not Pogba mad at that. He's box dribble. To box. He's true box to box.
Pogba can shoot. Pogba can create. Pogba's passing. Yeah. Don't get me started on the passing. I think the only one that I would that I thought about was Luka Modric.
Everybody else, I guess he's our generation.
But everybody else, like, bro, I'm not talking about Xavi and Iniesta that time. I'm talking about from 2010.
The guys under them. Yeah, you know,
from the 2010s, bro. There was nobody. Toni Kroos.
Yeah, man.
N'Golo Kante. I would say Kroos is older, though, but I mean, you could. Jeez, yeah.
Bro,
nobody. I'm not mad at that, Salam. I'm not mad at that.
Nobody could do what Pogba could do, man. We just fucked up his career, man.
It's like, I'm a sucker for those stories of, you know, going back where it all started. I love those stories. Yeah. But now he should have never went back to United, because that Juventus Pogba. You couldn't tell me
different.
This guy was not the best midfielder. You couldn't tell me.
Yeah, but
you know my prototype. He was my perfect prototype.
Mike always said,
"Oh my god,
that Pogba should be a six." I told him he's not a six. He wears number six. He's not a six.
He's an eight, but he's box to box. He could do everything though.
I always felt like he should have been, but I don't know.
I just feel like where the Premier League was going, though, like this whole like transition, he just wasn't trying to do that, bro. He shouldn't have came to England. He should have went to La Liga, and that's really where I felt like we could have really seen him like be at the top of his game. Because in Italy, the game was slowed down. He could kind of play at his own pace.
Should he have gone back to Juve? That's the real question.
Oh, from United.
From United, he shouldn't have gone back to UA either.
He was
linked with a lot of people.
But like, why isn't he going to Real Madrid? I feel like you're telling me you couldn't even be a squad player at Real Madrid.
Nah, he lost that window. He should have gone there when he had the chance.
Yeah, I agree, Mike.
You know, Real Madrid, they have that little window. Like, oh, you want to come here? You don't? Okay, we're never touching you.
Yeah, because they'll go find someone else.
I mean, sure. That's a tough midfield to get into, though.
Absolutely.
Oh, at that time, Casemiro, Cruz,
but at the end of the day, though, that's just gonna make you train hard, bro. Like, I agree with y'all. I think Pogba I feel like he just likes the easy life. You know, like at the end of the day, the guy kind of just likes the easy. Not saying that he isn't willing to work hard or anything like that, but. You know our people, man. We just like good time.
As fans, we look at it like, oh, you could go play, be a good squad player, but probably to him, he's like, yo, I want to start every weekend.
Yeah, exactly. These guys have egos too, so.
Yeah,
it was poor timing at United, man. Just so poor timing. That first season under Jose was actually good. Like,
that's what blows my mind, man.
Like, we had a good happen. He just couldn't get a hold of it. Jose and him couldn't work out, which was the problem. Because then him and Jose couldn't work out, which meant Jose and the team couldn't work out.
Yeah.
Jose needed somebody that would just pretty much be a puppet. Like, and I feel like he was getting into that, you know, stage of his career. And he's just like, I'm not a kid anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing with Jose. You just gotta let him. I saw this quote by Lucas Moura. He said Jose was the best coach he's ever played for. He said he came into training one day. Jose asked him, "Yo, how are you? How's the family? How you doing?" And he said, he's doing well, blah blah blah. And Jose was like, he thought, you know, he was like asking him about how he's doing. He's like, Jose responded with, well, it doesn't seem like you're okay because you played like shit yesterday.
Yeah, man.
He's like, that guy is so honest. He's like, he doesn't lie to you. He's just straightforward, so you know exactly what you're expecting. And I feel like they were just at a different point of his career. And Jose will even say, he said, after he left United, he noticed that, okay, there were certain things he has to change, the way he looked at the game. He says it all the time.
Yeah.
We all know at that point when he left, he was still the old Jose of, you know, we don't bend. This is how we do it. You do it my way or the highway. But now he understands, okay, that's not how it works anymore, really.
I mean, you need that. You need that because you got to evolve, man. You got to evolve. If you don't evolve,
you get left behind.
Yeah, man.
I mean, y'all know how I feel about Jose. That's still my forever manager. And you know, in his later years, it's I would love to see him be, you know, more successful, but he's had a great career. Nobody can take anything away from him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most definitely.
All right, getting to our teams, our predictions.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let's do these predictions, man. Because I was itching.
Chelsea, we play Leicester. Woo! At Leicester, 7:30 Saturday here in Ohio. I mean, I haven't seen my team a little bit, but you know how I feel about us.
It's a trap game.
Dude, I think.
Wait, who went on international duty for you guys and actually played?
Neto, Mudrik, Neto, Jackson, Cucurella played, Viega played.
Vega, yeah.
Felix haven't played. I'm just like, I mean,
Felix got a little bit of burn at the end of the match, but yeah, no, Felix.
Yeah,
Felix is fine.
But bro, Cornelius, have you looked at our next 10 games?
Nah, I haven't looked.
Bro, it should be 10-0. Like, I don't want any bullshit. If you look at our next 10 games, there should be no losses.
We see Villa at home December. We see Spurs a week later. I mean, honestly, yeah,
these are winnable games.
We play a team called Shamrock Shake.
Man,
Shamrock Rovers is crazy.
I'm sick of you guys, man.
Yo, play a team called Shamrock. You're right, Mike. I mean, our next real big match isn't until, like, I would say outside of Spurs and Villa.
Villa.
Our next big match isn't until we see City again.
Exactly.
And that's January 25th.
Bro, I'm looking at the schedule like, I don't want to get
too ahead of myself. I think
2-0. I know.
3-0 at Spurs or at King Power against Leicester this week.
Yeah. Leicester has some injuries. The two Ghanaians I play for them are out. So I don't know, man. I think we should be able to go there and take care of business. I'm saying 2-3. I'll say 3-0. Because that's the one thing we do. We do score goals.
Yeah. We need to clean it up in the back. Yeah. But other than that, I like our team right now.
Yeah, I see us winning. Coming back, especially from this break. Because I feel like most of our guys didn't play go on a break. To play most of our key guys, like Palmer is rehabbing, James is, you know, still rehabbing, but it should be good, man. Arsenal picked up another injury, Trossard. Hey, it's part of the game. You remember, it's part of the game.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's so crazy because, like, against was that you guys? The last game that they played, like Havertz, if he just let that ball go, it was a goal for Havertz. And like he tried to get who did they play? Yeah. Who did they play? Was it you guys? It was at the end. It was the last cross, like one of the last crosses before the final whistle, and try to get the shot off. And it altered the trajectory of the pass. And Havertz would look at him like, what are you doing?
Man? Yeah, Trossard.
Trossard was like this. Hey, I was just, hey, you know what I'm saying?
He's over here like this.
Man, shout out LT, man.
Trossard.
Okay, so good week for you guys.
Yeah, who y'all see, Salam?
Ipswich. So yeah, man. Ruben Amorim.
First match for the new skit.
You're gonna see the 3-4-3.
Or not skip.
Yeah, man, I'm excited, man. I'm really excited. I think as a, I feel like it's obviously easy to say this, but like from all the new managers that we've had, I feel like this is the most excited I've been from all of them, because now
you gotta be.
We kind of have a new structure in place. Hopefully, he's just
heard this multiple times.
Nah, this
time you were excited for Jose. I remember that.
No, you know what I'm laughing. That Saeed video you sent, that had me dying.
Yeah.
If this one doesn't work, cross. I was dying.
He's right. Shout out to Saeed, man. He's
right. The excitement. Like, the excitement that comes with. Yo, I love it. I love watching it.
Nah, but and he's had an incredible run this season.
Yeah, he's had some bangers this season already. Too.
The biryani rice, man. Like, shout out to him, man. You need your gimmick. Nah, but I think hopefully, I'm just hoping that he has the freedom to do what he needs to do. Hopefully, he has the freedom and the decision making to either play or not play the players that he wants to, but. Supposedly, we're expecting to see a 3-4-3. I think from the players that we have, Onana and goal, back three of, well, fully healthy, I would like to see Euro, Dalit, and Martinez. But right now, we'll have to go with Dalit, Martinez, and probably Johnny Evans, because Lindelof is hurt.
What's a word on Euro? What's his timetable looking like?
He should be back, right?
Soon.
Right.
Oh, Malacia's back. I see a little. Tyrell. Everybody was fanboying. Oh, welcome back.
Everybody's back now. I think Luke Shaw's back. So, you know, exactly. LS. LS. Yeah. But,
you even guys had him.
Yeah.
Luke Shaw.
I'm so sick of him. But, yeah, man. We'll have. Hopefully, Johnny Evans, Dalit, and Martinez.
Johnny Evans. Oh, my God.
I would love to see Casemiro and Ugarte continue that. To the right of them, I would love to see Delo on the right. On the left, I mean, Mazraoui. And then the two behind the striker would have to be Bruno and Ahmad for me, based off of who we have. When Mainoo comes back, you know, that's another spot. We'll have to address, and then up top, we go with Rasmus Højlund. I think that's how we'll line up. And I'm expecting 3 points against one of our former assistant managers, Kieran McKenna. So, shout out to him. But yeah, man, I'm excited, man. Bro. Like, it's a new age. Eras come to an end. That's what Ten Hag said. So did we know he was talking about
himself?
That's so crazy, because since he said that, right? I mean, a lot. That's
like, he did win two trophies.
He did win two trophies. But look how much changed. Look how much changed with you guys.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like, look where you guys are now. And honestly, look back. Look at the perception of two teams. Look at the perception of Arsenal and Liverpool now. Remember Arsenal 2 years ago? Everyone was afraid of Arsenal. But now it's like,
no.
Now it's like this. It's like,
they're back. Now Arsenal is back. The Arsenal,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, Arsenal's back.
So Arsenal's back is great.
Yeah,
they're good this enough to
Arsenal,
make
this
top
is the Arsenal
four,
we know. And
good enough, exactly. Good enough to make top four, though. Good enough to make top four. But we're not winning anything else.
Yeah, 3 points. Speaking of
Arsenal,
who do they play? Let me preview for Gabriel. Let's see who they got. They got Liverpool. That's actually Nottingham Forest.
That's actually a difficult game.
That's a tough game.
By the time the Emirates,
are they home or away?
They have the Emirates.
Okay. That doesn't mean anything.
It's more so that they're not playing at Bournemouth, because that Bournemouth stadium be or not Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest. Yeah, Forest, that stadium be rocking, bro. Like that stadium goes crazy. Oh, I don't think anybody wants to play there right now.
We're getting City Spurs.
Oh, City Spurs.
City's about it's about to be five. You already
that's a know. That's a trap game. I think I'll take Spurs. Spurs yeah, got Spurs, City's number these last
struggle with Spurs.
Yeah, these last few years. I think 2 or 3 years ago, Spurs did the double on
yeah.
City.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think I thought I saw something about Erling Haaland broke another record, but
yeah, he's the Norway all-time goal scorer.
Yeah.
Wow, 7 goals in 6 Nation League games. See, he's just racking up stats. 22 goals for clubbing. He's like, no one's ever going to even come close to like touching his records. For Norway, shout out to all the Norwegians, but
yeah, nobody's coming close to that. Liverpool, Southampton. I said Liverpool dub, but anyways, keep going.
Yeah, Liverpool, Southampton. Yes. Shout out to this is the early get well soon to Aaron Ramsdale. You're gonna be getting up.
Wow. He said get well soon.
No, I'm saying, man, we need a segment, man.
Get well soon is funny.
That's a good one.
Hey,
go well soon and crash out of the week.
Yeah, crash out of the week. We got to keep it light and fun, but definitely for the first one,
DC.
We should call it the David Coots Award for real. Because, I mean, the way he crashed out was that's
bro.
Crash Bandicoot.
Literally.
Every day of the week, yeah, a new video drop.
Yeah, I'm like,
bro, it was like every single day, it was something new. It was like Monday, the video drop, Tuesday, the photo drop, Wednesday, hearing about, oh, he texting people pictures. At halftime. It's like, bro,
did you guys see the pictures of him in was it Thailand or something?
No,
oh, yeah, there were pictures of him with like some Thai girls or whatever with his buddies, everybody had one. And they're all married. It's like,
nah. Somebody, somebody's just been putting everything in the vault because ain't no way, bro.
Yeah, it's no way.
He probably got a check, but the dude, I just feel like if you're the dude who snitched, it's kind of like, bro, you're in the video in there with him. I don't know. Like, I just. Get well soon, man. I just remember there was one screenshot. I just remember on Twitter, he was just like staring at the camera. Like, and I was like, oh, you must have just got activated. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was looking at him like, wow, bro, you are fucking crazy. But, yeah, man. Shout outs, man.
Before you close out, I want to say shout out to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Where they at?
Yeah, man.
15-0 start, baby. That's 1-5. I don't know. 1-5.
Whatever. By the time we come back, you guys will have a loss or two.
Oh, we go to Boston next. Give me Boston, man. That's the only guys I've been waiting on.
When do y'all play Boston?
I think Tuesday. Tuesday, yeah, I think Tuesday.
Yeah. Because Mitchell didn't play today.
Mm-hmm. No, he resting up. We know what time it is. This is going to be our first test to see where we are as a
real test. Yep.
Because the Warriors, like, and again, the Warriors were playing really well. I'm not going to call it a one off, but the blowout was kind of like surprising.
Crazy. It was actually crazy surprising to me.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
But yeah, as far as the Cavs, man, fourth team in NBA history to start off 15-0. Shout out our new coach, Kenny Atkinson. He got the boys. The boys are a force, man. Everyone looks good. Our bench is solid, bro. We are like 10 to 12 players deep.
Who the hell is Jerome?
Hi, Jerome. He was, bro, so we picked him up last year, but he was hurt. Virginia. He was hurt all last year. But they talked about him a lot.
Hooper. Who is this Jerome?
We got to condense. Yeah, this is going to be all Africans talk basketball. No. We can't give them –
I just got to shout out my boys. My bad. Yeah. Man, we don't need a
no, but sport. Shout out to the Chelsea women's team. 10 mm-hmm. wins in a row, no losses so far this season. Hey man, we just smacked
and new manager. City?
Yeah, new manager too. Mm-hmm. We just smacked City 2-0. So shout out to the women.
Yeah, shout out to the women in NWSL. Shout out to Marta. Yeah, and then, I mean, all of them. Temwa, Barbara Bamba.
I'm not going to lie. I'm rooting for Washington, bro. I'm rooting for Washington.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, same.
What are they
called? I mean, I don't know. I would love to see a good game.
I know. I would love to see a good game, but personally, I'm rooting for Washington.
I want to see Trinity score. I want to see
Temwa, or not Temwa, Banda and Marta getting a goal would be cool.
We have a game on our hand, guys.
Who is it?
The Bengals are tied.
Yeah, I've been watching the whole time.
Oh, no way. Yeah. I couldn't concentrate, so I just put it off.
Yeah.
I just wanted to take my shout out also, too, for definitely some sad news in the the Cincinnati community. I wanted to shout out Marco Angulo.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away, the young 22-year-old.
Uh-huh. And I believe the passenger in the car passed as well. That was with him?
Yeah.
Rest in peace to both of them. I know in the Cincinnati community, especially in the soccer scene, it's really shaking up a lot of people. So
22, man. So young.
Too young. Yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Shout out to him, his family, his loved ones. Definitely. It's tough, man. But rest in peace, man. But yeah, appreciate everybody for tuning in. And as always, good luck to you in your future endeavors.